So it's our final batch now, batch number 4 of local news and features. It's Tim and Liz, and my headlines coming up are: furious families call on council to ditch communal bins as rats run free. Don't like rats. And Staffordshire top cop denies wrongdoing after suspension bombshell. And Liz's headlines are:
surgery helped my weight loss, but this is what I really needed. And trouble fears as Gingerbread Centre to build 54 flats for homeless and teen mums.
Okay, we'll hear from Liz shortly, but my first story is furious families call on the council to ditch communal bins as rats run free. Families are calling for a council to give them their own refuse bins, as residents on one side of South Street in Ball Green put their rubbish in communal bins at the top and bottom of the street after Stoke-on-Trent City Council took away the individual ones. But they say that the communal bins, which are not locked, are always overflowing as other people dump their rubbish in them. And they say fly tipping is a major issue, with items including sofas and mattresses being left there. They say the overflowing rubbish has led to them seeing rats. Now they're calling for the city council to give them their own bins. Courtney Chow, aged 26, and her partner Alex Spruce, also 26, moved into their terrace property in the street last year. Courtney said, "We had bins, but the bin men took them away, and the only reason that we had them was because the person who lived there before had assisted living. All the odd numbers on South Street use communal bins at the end of their street. There are not enough bins, and they're getting full because of fly tippers. There's 4 grey bins at the top of the street and 4 at the bottom. It is a problem. I have seen rats at night when it's untidy with rubbish. It is the fly tipping. We've seen sofas, mattresses, bed frames, anything that people cannot be bothered to take to the tip." Alex added, "It's all free for all. The bins are not locked up. Anybody from anywhere can use them. Instead of going to the tip, then people just chuck their rubbish in instead. I think they get emptied on a Tuesday, but they are full on Friday. We would prefer to have our own bins in our own backyards." Neighbour Steve Ball, aged 60, lived in South Street for 18 years, said the communal bin areas have become fly-tipping zones. He said as soon as the council empties them, they fill up every week. It seems like when people finish their tenancy, they dump all their rubbish in our bins. There is room for more bins, and when we've had our bins, we were fine and took them up once a fortnight. We were not even told that they were going to do this. I would like my own bin back. It's much easier." Councillor Amjid Wazir, OBE, Cabinet Member for City Pride, Enforcement and Sustainability at Stoke-on-Trent City Council, said, "Our environmental services regularly visit sites with communal bins and recently visited South Streets where no issues were noted. Communal bins are there to substitute the individual household bins. This doesn't mean that they should be treated any differently due to size. Each bin needs to have the correct materials added to it. Recycling bins should only contain items that can be recycled. If this issue with litter bins at the bottom of South Street, residents can report directly to www.stoke.gov.uk/illegal dumping, and we can ensure the illegally dumped items are removed." So over to Liz, who's going to do her first story for us in batch number 4.
Surgery helped my weight loss, but this is what I really needed. A woman locked in a decade-spanning weight loss battle says her life has been changed after swapping surgery for simple diet tweaks. Tracy Mason believes things just clicked when she joined Slimming World in September 2024. The 55-year-old had always struggled with her weight thanks to an unhealthy diet and polycystic ovary syndrome. She later suffered with type 2 diabetics and high blood pressure as a result. When she began her weight loss journey in 2006, Tracy clocked in at 25 stone, but has now shed down to a petite 11 stone, 8 pounds. Tracy of Kidsgrove said, "I've always been large. As I got older, I started developing some health problems, so I realised I had to do something about it. I went to the GP and spoke to them about getting a gastric band. They were sceptical because it was still quite new in this country, so I went and had it fitted privately at a clinic in Sheffield. Although Tracy lost an impressive 11 stone in just 12 months, she says her surgeries didn't come without their own set of problems. She explained, "I've still lived on really unhealthy stuff. It got rid of the high blood pressure and type 2 diabetics. But when you start losing weight really fast, you want to carry on. So I got it tightened up. Then I couldn't really eat anything. I was living off coffee and ice cream. I had the restriction in my band taken out to try and deal with it. But then you put the weight back on. So you get it tightened again. So I was yo-yoing all the time. I went to dietitians and they'd tell me what to eat, but it didn't change my mindset. I knew the band was working, so I didn't do anything about it. One of the side effects of gastric bands is that your stomach can grow over it, so I ended up having to take it out because it was giving me a lot of trouble. I was really scared because I didn't want to go back to that weight. They had to do my bypass as an open surgery. Because of that, it got infected and I ended up in hospital for a week. It was horrible. After a while, I even ended up with a hernia on the surgery site where my stomach managed to push through. I got a twisted bowel too and had to have emergency surgery to fix that. After surgery failed to help Tracy on top of her weight, After surgery failed to help keep Tracy on top of her weight, she decided to try something new. She added, "I was jumping on the scales and seeing I'd put a few pounds on, you think, oh, it's okay, I'll be able to get that down next week. Then you get back on the scales the week after and see it's gone up again. So I just thought, I'll join Slimming World. And it just clicked. You can eat all the stuff you would eat, just in moderation. Your mindset changes. I eat lots of fruit and veg, lean protein, some carbs. I still eat chocolate too. Those little changes make a massive difference. Surgeries didn't change that mindset of healthy eating, so I never felt in control. Before, I didn't feel brilliant. I felt tired. I didn't have the energy to do things, but I feel really good on Slimming World. Tracy is now becoming a full-time Slimming World consultant after being made redundant from her sales role. She said, when I lost my job, it all just fell into place. Julie recommended I start as a consultant and I've not looked back. I'm excited about the future. I love helping people. I think the journey I've been on, people see you and don't think you've been there. But I do know how difficult it is and I also know it can be done. You have absolutely nothing to lose, only the weight you don't want."
Wonderful stuff. So my final story now, in batch number 4, is Staffordshire's top cop denies wrongdoing after suspension bombshell. Staffordshire Police's Chief Constable Chris Noble has publicly denied any wrongdoing in a statement shared with Stoke-on-Trent Live. It comes after he was suspended today as the result of an independent office for the police conduct, the IOPC investigation. A referral was made to IOPC regarding Noble's conduct last year over concerns that he had shared confidential information without proper policing purpose. But now, additional allegations concerning his behaviour outside of work before his time with Staffordshire Police have led to his immediate suspension. The Chief Police's Office of Staff Association, which offers support and guidance to top cops in the UK, is representing Constable Noble's interest in this matter. A spokesperson for the CPOSA said that Chief Constable Chris Noble completely and categorically denies any wrongdoing and will continue to cooperate fully with the IOPC investigation. But the IOPC says it has serious concerns. An IOPC spokesman said, "We received mandatory referrals from Staffordshire's Office of the Police, Fire and Crime Commissioner on April the 30th, June the 27th and July the 29th this year in relation to Staffordshire Police Chief Chief Constable Chris Noble. The referrals relate to reports that we've received raising serious concerns over Mr. Noble's behaviour outside of his work duties. The matters predate Mr. Noble's appointment as Chief Constable for Staffordshire Police. The IOPC is also separately investigating Mr. Noble over allegations he shared confidential information without proper policing purpose. That followed a referral in 2024 from the Office of the Police, Fire and Crime Commissioners for Staffordshire. Ben Adams, the Staffordshire Commissioner for Police, Fire and Rescue, issued the suspension earlier today, which was last Friday, said, "I have decided to suspend Mr. Noble from his role pending the outcome of the IOPC's investigation. Suspension is a neutral act to enable an independent and thorough investigation to take place. It has no bearing on any indication of guilt and should not be seen as such. I know this announcement will come as a shock to many across Staffordshire, especially our hard-working officers and staff, but it is right that allegations of this serious nature are dealt with consistently and investigated thoroughly and properly." So, just to mention, we haven't forgotten the answers to Lizzie's quiz, and we're going to do them after Lizzie's next story. So Lizzie's going to do the final story for us now in batch number four.
Trouble fears as Gingerbread Centre to build 54 flats for homeless and teen mums. A Stoke-on-Trent charity has received the go-ahead for a new fit-for-purpose supported accommodation for dozens of vulnerable families. The Gingerbread Centre's new building on the former site of Feg Hayes Sports and Social Club will include 54 apartments for homeless families and teenage mums. Local residents had raised concerns over the size of the 3- and 4-storey development and feared it could result in increased antisocial behaviour. But planning committee members at Stoke-on-Trent City Council said they were reassured that the facility would be run by the Gingerbread Centre, which has been operating in the Potteries since the 1970s. They voted to grant the scheme planning permission in line with their officer's recommendation. The Oxford Road building will replicate the type of supported accommodation currently provided by the Gingerbread Centre at its sites in Hanley and Normacott. John Chilton from applicants Nightingale Land told the committee that along with the 54 self-contained flats, the development would include communal facilities and would be staffed around the clock. Each of the families living at the facility would receive a tailored support package aimed at preparing them to live more independently within a year or so. Mr. Chilton said, "The Gingerbread Centre has been supporting vulnerable families in Stoke-on-Trent since 1977. For over a decade, the charity has been operating in two separate buildings, Rothsay Court and Catherine Court. The proposals at Oxford Road will enable the charity to operate out of one building, while also providing support services for the families. The charity has already helped thousands of disadvantaged families by combining the two services in a modern, fit-for-purpose building with increased capacity. The Gingerbread Centre can continue to help Stoke's most vulnerable families. The very substantial benefits of the proposals are already evident through the positive impact the Gingerbread Centre has had for a number of decades." The application received 3 objections from residents in the area, who argued that Oxford Road was the wrong location for a supported housing scheme. Sue Ackert, ward councillor for Great Chell and Packmore, raised residents' concerns with the committee. She said, "There is a fear of antisocial behaviour increasing, which is a major concern across the area. Also, as local schools in the area are near capacity, how will all the schools cope with potentially another 50 to 75 children coming into the area? Residents feel the scheme is too large, especially as it will be 3 floors. There's also concern that resources are already overstretched in what has historically been a very deprived area. Residents ask if this would be the correct place for this scheme." Feg Hayes Sports and Social Club was demolished a decade ago following a fire, and the site has been vacant ever since. Councillor Ackert said residents were not opposed to the site being redeveloped, but felt that a supermarket or community facility would be more appropriate. Committee members suggested that residents' concerns may have been alleviated had they known that the Gingerbread Centre was behind the scheme. Councillor Carl Edwards said, "I can understand why residents were concerned when they saw this application. I fail to understand why the occupier wasn't mentioned in the report, because once I figured out it was the gingerbread centre, my fears were allayed. Most of us are aware of what they have been doing in the city. It is not yet known what will happen to the gingerbread centre's existing sites once the new facility is built."
Okay, so we are going to finish off now with Liz is one and only quiz, if I can get my music on. So here we go.
Number one, what does the T in NATO stand for? And the answer is treaty, because it's the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Number two, the dish goulash originated in which country? It originated in Hungary. Number three, what type of creature is an avocet? An avocet is a bird. Number four, which English queen was declared a heretic and excommunicated by the Pope? That was Queen Elizabeth I. Not the second, the first. Number five, if you were offered snags during a barbecue in Australia, what would you be getting? The answer is you'd be getting sausages. And they're also called snarlers and snorks. I don't know why Australians have got three words for sausages. Why don't they say sausages? Next time I see my stepbrother, I'll ask him. Number six, which country has more lakes than the rest of the world in total? And the answer is Canada. I don't know if anyone's counted them. That sounds an incredible statistic. But that was in the Sentinel quiz. So there we are. That's the answer. Number seven, glossophobia is the fear of doing what? It's the fear of public speaking, and it can also be known as speech anxiety. Number eight, the Royal Mint has released its first coin honouring which member of the royal family to celebrate their 75th birthday? And the answer is the Princess Royal, and also known as Princess Anne. And I know when she'll be 75. She'll be 75 on the 15th of August. And how do I know this? Because I'm not particularly a royalist. The reason is because I'm 75 a week later. Because all my life I've known my birthday comes a week after Princess Anne. But I don't get any coins or stamps to honour me. Number nine. Pigeons and doves are related to which extinct bird? They are related to the dodo. Number 10. Oh, I gave multi-choice here. In which year did third-class travel officially end in the UK? 1936, 1946 or 1956? Now, I knew the answer was 1956 because I was six. And I remember third-class travel being an option. I think that's what we used. So it was going until 1956. And my bonus question, who in 1964 was the first non-royal to appear on a British stamp, a British postage stamp? And the answer is William Shakespeare. And he appeared in 1964. Get all sorts of people now. I remember a George Best stamp. And that is my quiz.
So many thanks, and I hope you got all those right. If not, you can have another go at Timbo's Trivia or the one and only quiz with Liz, and return, because myself and Liz will be doing some more stories for you later in August. And keep listening, I'll be up a bit later on with the entertainment segments, but also be reading with Cliff some more batches of news.